know you're broken hearted, cause the peace you're hoping for is off the scenes apart.
Welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I am your host, Robert Rosenthal. We are Illinois football, and we can't be trusted. That's the story of life, is that we can't be trusted. Like, okay, fine. I predicted 35-14 or whatever. I thought Wisconsin would, you know, I said it that just so line wasn't 19.5. I said it at 21. It's trying to make people happy of like, okay, if you got in at 23.5, maybe you're going to win your money, but we're not going to cover this week. And yeah, we didn't cover. So I'm an emotional kind of fan, and I spent the entire day Saturday avoiding life, and I spent 6 hours in the garage going through boxes and cleaning things just to have something to do and avoid any and all college football. And then today I'm still in this mood, and I still struggle to get out of bed, and I woke up at 4 a.m. and I couldn't go back to sleep, and so I decided to record a podcast. So I called up Martin O'Donnell, and we actually did this one in person. Don't worry, my cords are 6 feet long, and we sat across the kitchen island from each other, a good 7 or 8 feet apart. So this is the socially distanced podcast. This is our discussion on what happened. It's not very long. This is not going to be some long podcast. It's going to be just over a half hour. I didn't even plan to do any pod today, but kind of felt like I needed to sort this out with somebody because my emotions are still pretty raw. So this is Martin and I breaking it down. That'll be the end of the podcast. We have a fairly important game coming up against Purdue, and if it goes like this game went, my goodness. Here's my one-on-one with Martin. Okay, Martin and I are sitting in my kitchen with my dog. Don't make noise, Lucy. We're sitting in the kitchen, and this is a therapy set. Oh, I didn't play the sound yet. We're sitting in the kitchen. This is a therapy session where we're going to solve our emotional issues with the game and then solve the game. So let's start with you. I'm going to let you help me. What happened?
I think at the end of the day, and you know, I think I mentioned this to you, I haven't rewatched the entire game. I watched all the offense. I've watched 3/4 of the defense, and I think it's a lot of factors in terms of you have a game like that where you don't show up, and you know you don't play really well, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, defense had plenty of issues too. You know, really that sequence there at the end of the second quarter. I mean, the dam kind of burst there where things kind of flipped around, and you thought after, you know, the Tariq Barnes fumble return for a touchdown, hey, we're back in this game. You know, give up the long touchdown coming back the other way. What I just chalk it up to is I think Wisconsin obviously was out looking for revenge. I think Wisconsin's pretty good. They don't have a whole lot of stars, I don't think, on their defense, but their defense, again, plays really, really sound football. Jim Leonard, I think, is a really good DC, and they had a good plan cooked up. And so offensively, Illinois couldn't counter things, couldn't string drives together. And then defensively, you know, Wisconsin made the plays that were there to be made. Illinois, you know, made plenty of mistakes, and Wisconsin capitalized on all of them. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when this team comes out against Purdue next Saturday at 11 here in Champaign.
Since you've rewatched, did you feel better or worse?
I think I felt a little better. You know, you look at it, and I mean, look, there's plenty of people that can be doom and gloom. I don't need to be that person. I had 4 hours on Friday night and early Saturday morning to kind of replay enough of this in my head. So I'm in a decent spot. I think you can, you know, be upset about it for as long as you want. But, you know, I think Roderick Perry played really well along the defensive line. I think Tariq Barnes did a nice job filling in for Jake Hansen, who got, you know, he had to exit the game with an injury there. You know, early in the – was that probably in the first quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So and then it's just a matter of you look at at the offensive stuff, and there's plays to be made, and there's guys running open, and at the end of the day just couldn't get the running game going and couldn't capitalize on some passing plays. So, look, last year against Wisconsin. So I think this is a way that a lot of teams wind up running into Wisconsin, where Wisconsin really makes you earn it. It's kind of like Iowa, you know, defensively in that way. So let's talk about the offensive side of the ball now for Illinois. Last year against Wisconsin, Illinois hit some big explosive plays that got them back in the game and really broke the game open for them a little bit. Other than the couple of Peters runs, there weren't those explosive plays. So it's challenging to execute down the field against a defense like Wisconsin. But, you know, then defensively, you know, Illinois, we knew that they were going to be thin in terms of the defensive line. Didn't know they weren't going to have Isaiah Gay, you know, starting at defensive end. So, look, very disappointing to come out, have a result like that, especially on a stage. You have a national platform. Everybody's kind of watching you. And then really just gets away at the end of the second quarter, and Wisconsin doesn't look back.
I think my biggest, like, the reason, like, I still haven't watched yet. Like, I started to watch some highlights, and I'm like, I can't do it yet. Like, the reason probably emotionally it's a big deal for me is because of the context here of, like, yeah, I know there's COVID, and I know there's no warm-up games, and it's at Wisconsin, but year five, everything, you know, even the coach has said, like, this is the year, and this is when it has to happen, and here we are, and it's you know, it's laying an egg, and it's uninspired, and it's what's the offensive plan, and it's, you know, safeties turning and chasing on a defense that's built to keep everything in front of them. So, like, that's why it's so, like, you know, I predicted 35-14. If it would have been 35-14, I think I'm okay, and like, okay, fine, they weren't ready, it's Wisconsin, they wanted revenge. At 45-7, with the offense not scoring, I'm at, like, you know, gulp.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at this, like, oh God, what does this mean? And what does it mean for the next 7 years? And I'm still in this, like, panic mode. So I guess I got to get the Purdue game here, or I just got to, like, go watch the game and maybe feel better or this and that. But I'm at this, like, I can't get out of my rut of what it all means kind of thing.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I think I just kind of look at it as it's one game, and they have eight more to play this year. And if it becomes, you know, if that's happens against Purdue, and then it happens against, is it Rutgers after Purdue?
Yeah, Minnesota, then Rutgers.
Minnesota, then Rutgers. I mean, you get through three, four games here, I think you're going to know a whole lot more. I mean, you know, this reminds me a lot of, and I wasn't at this game last year, but it reminds me a lot of the Minnesota game in some respects from last season, where Minnesota just kind of, you know, Illinois didn't make the plays, did a little bit more offensively, and I think Peters got hurt in that game, so Robinson came in. But, you know, there are times where you just kind of get beat up, and it's what you do when you get beat up. So I'll be very interested to see, you know, there's a lot to learn coming from the first game, right? You say, okay, who's what are the defensive line rotations? Who's playing in what positions? And Devin Witherspoon didn't play, so you had Tony Adams kind of back at safety. So you're like, okay, there's some versatility there, but, you know, I'm going to be very interested to see, okay, now we have a set of data points in terms of reps, in terms of snaps. Okay, who's getting the, you know, first and second team running back snaps to start the Purdue game? You know, what's the defensive line rotation in the Purdue game? Because I think you can watch some of this stuff and you can, you know, see how certain guys did in plays. And again, I don't know the responsibilities. Again, I can make assumptions and I can say, hey, you know, there's some guys where, you know, maybe it's like, okay, well, we're going to learn a lot from them. And I wonder if we're going to see as much of them from, you know, next week, or are we going to see, you know, more of them next week? And, you know, there's the old adage, you know, a team grows more between week one and two than, you know, any other week. And I think that's probably exacerbated this year just because of COVID. You didn't have a whole lot of camp. And so you had these live game reps on a Friday night in Wisconsin. I'm very interested to see how they come up. I'm very interested to see what the offensive game plan looks like, because offensively all night Friday night, it just seemed kind of disjointed and off. And, you know, some of that is just you get a little confidence, you get things going. But, you know, again, Illinois turned the ball over a couple times. You had poorly timed penalties. I mean, they filled up a good part of the bingo card in terms of how you lose a game 45-7 or whatever it wound up being.
Yeah. And let's go back to – so something you said reminded me. 07, you guys kind of had that game. So you opened losing to Missouri, and then that Western Illinois game was like this struggle.
It's like 21-7 or something like
that. Yeah,
21-0.
Yes. So, and it was that, I mean, it was like 7-0 for the longest time, or 14.
Yeah, it was gross.
Just nothing going right. And, you know, and I know there's some of those games, and, you know, I'm trying to put my brain in that context of, like, okay, say this was Illinois State.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're obviously going to be moving the ball a little better, but say it's that same kind of struggle and everything's out of sync and this and that, and you come away with a, you know, 27-24 win, and it's like, oh, you know, that's scary. So I'm trying to, like, okay, we've done this before, early season, a nothing goes right game. You know, even 2010, the Northern Illinois game, you like barely pull it out. And then, you know, what was your next game in 07? Was it at Syracuse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Syracuse.
And that's when everything clicked. Yeah. And then it was accelerated to the floor right. of like Indiana game was a blowout. Penn State shocked the world. Wisconsin number five. Now yeah. we're ranked like everything from there. So I'm trying to like, okay, it's Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin. They want a revenge and this and that. I'm struggling to like get there and just say, okay, if this would have been, this is that game where you barely beat an FCS team, except we played at Wisconsin.
Right.
So I don't know how I can like get over that hump. Like, I don't know how I can like push my brain past what I saw, but I can't get out of the context thing of like, this is year five. This is everything has to come together. Like, it has to happen kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I get you. And I'm in the same position from a certain perspective of, right, this is the year they've been pointing towards. And so, you know, the coaching staff has been pointing towards. I think you look at things and say, hey, this is where things are supposed to really heat up. Again, I'm going to wait until we get a little bit larger sample size to, you know, have, I should say, you know, lingering issues about it, just simply because, you know, you go through it and, you know, and I was as frustrated as, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are, you know, on Friday, which is kind of the way it turned out. But Purdue's going to be a really important game here, yeah. you know. And then I think part of it, too, is, you know, your issues with it get exacerbated because then you see, okay, Rutgers wins at Michigan State. Okay, so now Rutgers is, you know, a little bit invigorated. And, again, you have Purdue who beats Iowa, and they don't have their coach. They don't have Rondale Moore. Of course, Rondale Moore is going to be healthy, you know, against
of
us.
Of course.
But you look at it, and it's the cumulative effect of a lot of mistakes is kind of what it winds up being. And so do those mistakes get coached up between week one and week two? I hope so. You know, again, it's not encouraging to see Wisconsin score on the same play to Ferguson twice in the game, you know, play action down near the goal line, and he's open in the corner of the end zone.
I asked on Twitter, nobody responded. I wanted somebody who has video skills just overlay the video on top,
yeah,
just to see if it's play. The exact
pretty
same
sure
spot.
It's the same play.
Yeah. like I think he was standing on the same blades of grass,
yeah.
when he caught it. Maybe different end zone, but
same end zone.
Yeah, was it same end zone?
Yeah,
yeah. You know, you were looking down at it. Yeah. That's right. Let me ask you that. Like,
sure.
What was it like? Like, I wasn't there. So
yeah, you know, it was really, so the pregame was very weird just because it was quiet, right? Like, when we were doing the radio, the good thing about it is they have, you know, some of the TV effects pumped into our headphones. And so it all sounded very normal when you had the headphones on.
Yeah.
But if you took the headphones off, it was just quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I got some serious side eye from... I think Wisconsin, they had like their regular radio people, and then I don't know if they had, you know, somebody who does their pre and post game in a booth next to us. I got some serious side eye because I was losing my mind when Tariq Barnes, you know, returned that fumble for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sitting here with the headphones on, and then, you know, these guys are over looking at me, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's nobody else here. Right. Like, I'm sure they could hear me down on the field because I was, you know, yelling and whatever. Right. But, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the pregame was very weird just because there's no band. You know, people, you know, the teams just kind of, you know, Wisconsin just kind of ran out.
Yep.
And But, again, that's part of it where, you know, this team and the coaching staff, I mean, they got to bring their own motivation for this stuff because you're not going to get it from the crowd. And, again, credit to Wisconsin. They played a really good game, and they look good. Graham Mertz. Looks to be the real deal. I don't know if he's on the level of Justin Fields, even though they both went 20 for 21.
Right.
But, you know, he looks to be, you know, a good quarterback for Wisconsin, and that's always been a missing piece for him.
I think one of the hardest things for me, and I kept tweeting it during the game, is that the Wisconsin offense didn't look like the Wisconsin offense. Like, I mean, still in this game where we struggle, there's 3.4 yards per carry for Wisconsin offense. Like, when they go to play somebody big, that's going to be a huge, they're going to have like a 41 yard rushing game this year, and Mertz is going to have to bail everything out with you know, them dropping eight because nobody's scared of a Wisconsin, which is weird, and they're going to have to adjust to that and this and that. But I think that's the thing, is like, you know, I went in thinking, okay, three new guys and backup quarterback, and know, is Groshek really a number one tailback? And I don't know if Watson's the guy. And so I went in thinking this isn't going to be the same Wisconsin offense. And that's kind of what we saw. Like that second drive, not after they recovered the fumble, but like when they were pinned deep, I think, or something like that. And those first two plays were just crashing the line and two TFLs. And it's like, okay, confirmed this is not the Wisconsin offense we thought it was going to be.
Right.
Like now, you know, now let's really accelerate because they're going to have to pass to win and Wisconsin can't do that. Granted, Mertz was great.
Yeah.
But I think I'm still bothered by the fact that like we did limit Wisconsin there and then just to see the safeties turning and running and, you know, everything gone. That's hard to like, man, it was right there, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's in, you know, again, it's good play calling down the end zone. I mean, you look at the first touchdown, I mean, kind of a wheel route to, you know, Stocky, the fullback out of the backfield. I mean, that was a well-placed throw. Okay, they got us on that one. Again, the 2-8 play action touchdowns to Ferguson, those ones hurt. And obviously, you know, the one that really just kind of breaks your back is, you know, the long touchdown at the end of the first half.
Yep.
You know, just running in between the two safeties and clearly a busted coverage there.
Yep.
You know, but I watched some other parts of it. And again, I'm the number one homer, but, you know, okay, so you held Wisconsin to 3.4 yards rushing.
Like, yep. Yep.
Okay. Yep. You know, I think Wisconsin's offensive line is pretty decent. I think they're trying to figure out who their playmakers are. But, you know, I think Nate Hobbs played a really nice game in run support. You know, I thought we played the jet sweep probably better than I've seen us play it in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Did a pretty good job with that. But again, it's the mental mistakes. And so it's you look at it and it's a cumulative effect and that's where you end up with. And then it all plays into it where the offense just didn't get going. And their guys open and, you know, the ball's not there or, you know, somebody misses a block. And, you know, again, it's a little bit different because Wisconsin plays kind of an odd front. So those blocks are a little bit different than you're kind of used to.
Yeah.
Again, not really it's not meant to sound like an excuse. I just think you look at it and, you know, I was disappointed by the offensive performance. I thought they'd be able to move the ball a whole lot better. You know, I had plenty of things to say about the referees on Friday night because some of those spots, I mean, what was it, 3 for 13 on third and fourth down combined? And, you know, we turned the ball over three times within the Wisconsin's 35 yard line.
Yep.
You get any of those and you're looking at a different thing, but we didn't.
Absolutely.
But we didn't. Yep. And you can't have it be that close. You have to, Illinois, you have to clearly be better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was like my focus is like, I hate games where you can't complain about the refs because of the score, and if any fan of any other team hears you like you lost 45-7, shut up, you know. But you're right, that first spot, I'm like, I was actually over here at a neighbor's watching the game, and like I'm trying to control myself because I'm, you know, a guest in someone's home, but like, you gotta be kidding me, because that, you know, you watch the highlight, he spins sideways, Hansen stuffed him, you know, that's
we played that great. I think it was Kalon Tolson took out the fullback and then Hansen was there to stick him and he didn't get anywhere.
Yep.
But they give him the spot and then, you know, Peters, they call him down where his hand was down versus where he actually was with the ball, you know, a little bit later, and that's fine, but you just it became there still were more penalties than you'd like to see.
Absolutely.
Hands to the face,
you
know, some holding, things like that. But you know, again, I saw enough there in terms of pieces where I can say, okay, well, you clean some of that stuff up and you look like a very different team.
Yep.
But you got to clean it up.
Yeah. And that's what I think about this like Purdue game. I think some of the moves from the summer or for the fall, I should say, make sense now. Like they come back to camp September 22nd or whatever it was. And, you know, they restart practice. And when they do that, you hear Tony Adams is safety now. And you're thinking, what? Why? What? That's weird. Like what? You know? And so then you watch this game where Adams had to go back to corner because Witherspoon was hurt. And you're like, oh, okay. Now I know why the coaches watching film of those August practices said, we got to get Tony back there to you know, play center field because, you know, he probably doesn't make some of those mistakes. So I do think, say Witherspoon is healthy this week, and I don't know, but if he's healthy this week, that changes the dynamic of that some, you would hope, because hopefully Adams goes back and there's that. But then there's still the issue of like pass rush. Like that's the thing,
a big issue.
That's the thing that's scaring me the most going into Purdue. You know, you look anywhere on Twitter, it's like, you know, Purdue is licking their chops when they watch a Wisconsin film because they like to throw it and they couldn't last year and they want revenge. They want the cannon back. And, you know, and here we are, you know, really showing some film that's really struggling in the back end. And so that's the big test is like, can you get to the Purdue quarterback? Because that has to happen or else we're going to see a lot more of this.
Yeah, I mean, they probably got, you know, the best, you know, 1-2 punch at receiver in, you know, in the Big Ten. If Moore is healthy, and, you know, Bell had 3 touchdowns yesterday.
Yep.
You know, and O'Connell looks to be pretty decent at quarterback. But yeah, it's going to be a good test. And again, this Illinois secondary, if you have people where you're slotted, you know, between, you know, Nate Hobbs and Devin Witherspoon, and you feel pretty good about what you have at corner, and then, you know, Sidney Brown on the back end and Tony Adams there. I mean, that's it should be, you know, kind of a strength on a strength there. But that's been one of my concerns throughout the offseason, was where are you going to find the pass rush? Mm-hmm. You know, it was inconsistent last year, and it's, you know, was, you know, inconsistent at best on Friday night.
Yep.
You know, again, I thought Roderick Perry played pretty well overall.
Yeah.
You know, he was really impressive. You know, first play of the game, gets a TFL. Welcome to the Big Ten.
Yep.
But you got to have other guys you can kind of pair him with. I think Jamal Woods can, you know, can do some things on the interior, but, you know, Illinois is still going to probably be in a position where they got to blitz a little bit to manufacture pressure, because you're not going to want to let Purdue just kind of sit back there and find receivers. And there were a couple times Friday night where Illinois only brought 4, and, you know, Mertz had all the time in the world, and you're not going to hold up in the back end.
Yep.
In those situations. So, yep. Again, that's what I'm interested to see is, you know, what's the second defensive line rotation that kind of rolls through? You know, who's playing where? You know, what do they kind of do differently? You know, it'll all be pretty telling.
Yeah, I'm like, my guy from Friday night was Keith Randolph. Like, I thought he played really well. Mm-hmm. I want to see more on, like, I'm ready for, you know, if we're really struggling to get a pass rush, let's get Randolph in the starting lineup. Like, I'm ready for some changes game two. You know, obviously he's just a redshirt freshman, but still, like, I thought stuck out to me is like, okay, maybe that's where this comes from. And I'm curious to see if we see that. Like, this is supposed to be the year where the seniors are, you know, the guys, and there's, you know, so many even walk-on seniors, and you got 25 guys that are playing all over. But if they're not performing, maybe you do have to turn to some of the redshirt freshmen and say, okay, we got to get to the quarterback. Now, Gay might help there. You know, obviously, if he's back,
right?
You know, that he's supposed to be your best pass rusher, so that should help with the pass rush. But you know, maybe they got to get creative, and maybe we're going to see some more blitzing. I don't know. I don't know if Lovey's going to, you know, dial it up, but, you know, we're going to see something.
Yeah, he'll blitz as he needs to. And I think, you know, I think Milo Eifler's a guy that can do some things in terms of pass rush, just, you know, with get off. So I'll be interested to see if they try to put him in some of those situations. But I think Isaiah Gay is a big deal. I mean, if he's able to be there and to play and start against Purdue, I think, you know, certainly that will help significantly. But, right, that's, I mean, I'm going to have to go back this week and just, I want to rewatch a lot of the kind of the pass rush reps, you know, cause I've kind of been through it once, and you see some stuff there, and just try to go back through it again. And again, it's one set of data points from Friday night, and I'm very interested to see how they respond on Saturday.
Yeah. I think I'm ready to move on now. Like it's Sunday afternoon. I can, you know, this is like the usual Monday feeling of like, okay, I'm ready to focus on the next game. I'm ready to get over, you know, maybe I can watch the game now and such. But I still, like, I think the reason this one really, really, really stuck with me is that there are excuses. There are reasons the defense struggled where they did. And you saw enough in the run defense and this and that. Like, if you, at one point, you didn't have Hansen, you didn't have Eifler, you didn't have Gay, you didn't have Witherspoon. So, yes, that take 4 players off of Wisconsin's defense, take 4 players off of Michigan's defense. It's going to be an adjustment, and they have to. Like, the offense had everybody healthy.
Yeah.
You know, 125 starts on the offensive line. Just like you, again, not to keep going back to your senior year, but like you guys that year had, you know, everything fell into place, and you moved X, and you found a guy in John and McDonald and you, and it's go time. And that's what we were expecting from the O-line. He just didn't have it. How much, as an offensive lineman, how much of that did you see as, wow, this Wisconsin defensive line is really good, and how much was like, man, we need more?
Well, just before I answer that question, just to go back, you know, I think as you look at the Wisconsin game in total, I think, you know, I can watch it and find reasons, logical reasons why, you know, this play goes wrong or that play goes wrong on both sides of the ball. At the same time, I can't find reasons why you lose that game 45-7.
Yep.
I think that's what it boils down to. So it's really frustrating there. You know, in terms of the offensive line, there's, you know, I think they played okay. you know, still sacks, still you know, too many sacks, not enough holes in the running game. You know, there's one thing in particular that a play we were trying to run versus a look from Wisconsin that I'm not, you know, our approach to it, again, this is the part that I don't know without knowing their blocking schemes. You know, some of it seemed really challenging to me, but we kind of kept running into that look. So I don't know if it was a matter of Wisconsin doing something different or us approaching it a different way, trying to run like an outside or, you know, kind of an outside zone, you know, lead was what we were doing. But, you know, I still need to see more from the offensive line. You know, I think when you look at it, it's they have to lead the team. They have to lead the group, and it's like spots with the refs. You can't leave any doubt. You know, if you're trying to lead as a position group, you have to be excellent. You know, and so I want to see more from them. I think they certainly have it in them. I think, you know, when you look at what Illinois can do really well, I think that they need to be able to create more lanes in a running game. They need to be able to give Peters more time. There are several, you know, and some of the stuff is just, you know, it gets frustrating because you watch and it's just, you know, I think we gave up a couple of sacks or at least quarterback hits where, you know, blitzing linebackers there and we have them accounted for in the protection and you just don't pick up the linebacker. Mm-hmm. And that happens, right? Like I can't tell you how many of those blocks I've missed in my life. Mm-hmm. But it's still just kind of frustrating to see. So again, you know, Purdue, they're not Wisconsin defensively. They have some really good players. The DN, who was a true freshman last year, Carol Loftus, I think, mm-hmm. five, he's a very good player. You know, I think they still got one of their big defensive tackles. It's yep. like a mobile home inside. Yep. So they're going to be challenged there as well. But, you know, what Illinois was able to do last year against Purdue was run the football. They're going to need to run the football this year against them. They're going to need to be able to hit some of those play action passes over the top, and they're going to have to score points because I do think Purdue is going to score here, but Illinois has to help out their defense in terms of, you know, converting on third down, keeping the chains moving, and then getting some of those explosive plays. I mean, I like that they were trying to get Bebe involved, but there are some times where it seemed a little bit forced, you know, yep. just wasn't working. Yep. You know, Daniel Barker, I thought Barker had a couple of great catches. I mm-hmm. think Peters threw a couple of great balls. I mean, if Brandon Peters doesn't have those like three runs, what's Illinois' yardage total? Like 70? Yeah,
no kidding. Yeah.
I mean, so, but again, yeah. those are good calls because Wisconsin wasn't really caring about that. They weren't honoring his ability to run.
Right.
And so we beat him. But I just want to see them put it together a little bit more. Want to see them get clicking early. And I do think that's going to be a big factor in these games without a crowd is the team that gets into the game early is going to have a big leg up. It's yep. not to say you can't come back from it, but you know, I think just to get engaged, you know, the Illinois offense right now, they just got to get their juice going. They got to get their mojo going. Just got to hit some plays, score a touchdown. Yep. Everybody's going to feel a whole lot better and just go play football.
Yeah, and I think like I've said this to a couple people. Like I think this is probably the biggest game of Lovie's tenure in that.
How many times have you said that, do you think?
Well, I mean, the next
like
one.
Like a lot, is, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes. But, I mean, if you think about it, like, just look at the context here, okay? A, you start like that. Fine, whatever. That's the, you know, you can chalk it up to you had your one game where you threw out the film. You can sure. chalk it up to first game on the road at Wisconsin. They want revenge. They're really good. Mertz, whatever. Second game at home, Purdue. Fourth year of a Purdue rebuild, fifth year of an Illinois rebuild. You know, this is more or less, you know, both Brohm and Lovie had their first recruiting class the same year. So in a sense, it's the same kind yeah. of, okay, that was a program that was down for most of the 2010s. This is a program that was down for most of the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, Purdue went, let's see, they went 6-7, then 4-8. Illinois went 4-8, then 6-7. So, you know, you're about on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're meeting in our house a year after we beat them. Like, this is like, you can't have more of a, there's, you know, this is a test. Like, this is the ACT for this program on Saturday of like, okay, what do you have?
Yeah, I think as I've thought about this entire season, I think really at the base of it, it's about being competitive and winning games in your division. And so, okay, week one, you were not competitive against the best team in the division over the last, well, since they've had divisions, right? This week, right, it's a Purdue team that you've kind of flip-flop records with the past couple of years. And, you know, I think Illinois has to go out and play well. You know, they got to, you know, I came in expecting this. If you're playing 8-9 games, you know, I wanted Illinois to win 4 or 5 games, you know, preferably on that 5-plus end, yep. just simply because I think we won 4 conference games last year. That's yep. improvement.
Yep.
Got work to do.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I mean, yep. just have work to do. I still think there's a lot. I mean, all the reasons that I'm excited about the season are still there. I think you still have a lot of guys that can make plays. You just didn't make plays on Friday night, and you got to figure out who your playmakers are on the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball. And just because guys were playmakers last year on either side of the ball doesn't mean that this year that's a given, you know? So I think that's more than anything, that's really what I want to see. We have a lot of seniors on the team. Great. Let's see that leadership. Let's see how they rebound from this. Let's see how they bring the other guys along with them, because, you know, again, there still were positives. Like I said, Rod Perry, I thought, played really well. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see Marquez Beeson in a Illini uniform out mm-hmm. there running around. Mm-hmm. You know, they worked Isaiah Williams in a mm-hmm. lot. I'm sure you'll be writing a post or two about that.
Possibly.
You know, this week.
Yes. You mean a running quarterback in Illinois that we've been – okay, I won't. Okay, keep going.
No, so there's still a lot of stuff I think to be excited about. It's just – I would really like to see it come together against yes, Purdue.
No kidding. Okay, final question. Before you got here, my Jimmy John's just arrived. Would you like some of it? Since we're sitting in my kitchen.
No, I'm good. I just ate lunch.
Okay, all right.
Well, I appreciate that, though.
All right. Well, I mean, it's like I'm trying to be like a host right now, you know? Like I'm trying to be nice. This is the first podcast in the kitchen studio.
Wow.
It's probably echoing. I didn't even think about that. Like, we're going to get this vote.
As long as you're recording, that's a win, right?
We're hoping. Yes.
Officially recording. I mean,
that light is on, so that should be recording. But, you know, we're about to find out now, aren't we?
We are.
All right, man. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks. Go Illini.